Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis. Know that we've been loyal even when we wasn't winning. A trust is lost for the news. Every night for Hallis in your ears. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a Bears Victory Tuesday. I'm assuming it's when. Why did I say it like that? Tuesday.
You sound like you from Baltimore.
Oh my goodness. Anyway, it is.
We don't need no motherfucking curfew.
Avenue with the avenue. It is a Bears Victory. Whenever the hell you're hearing this, it is Flo's Andolini here with first time journalist Scott Lewis. Got
give
a chance to interview.
Give a round of applause for me.
For those who are on Patreon, I'm giving him the bird, the double bird.
Well, if they're on Patreon, they see.
For those who are not on Patreon, I am giving him the double bird. Okay.
You know what I realized? We didn't get the Streets of Preview podcast last week.
There's a lot going on.
There's a lot going on. And you want to tell the people why you didn't make it? There's a lot of people asked me. By the way, Joe is a light guy in the Chicago media landscape. I kept getting that. There was it's like, what happened to Joe? They were legitimately upset that you couldn't make it. I was legitimately upset that you couldn't make it. Me and Pat Vito had a good time in your honor. Very nice hotel.
I'm crying at Pavi taking like 10 years off of football watching it, then coming back and being like, what the hell is this?
No, it's like he exited a time capsule.
Bro, I could imagine if you started.
Why are they doing shotgun on the goal line?
He said he haven't watched faithfully since like high school to start of college. And so he said he turned, you know, this is the first time he's turning on. He's interested because he's watching Monday Night Football. So he's interested in football, which is great. I always love to see someone come back to the beautiful game. But then he sees it. He was like, why are you in shotgun on goal line? I'm like, hey, man, remember we used to get mad at the Bears and Jay Cutler when they would be running shotgun at the goal line? We like, nigga, get in the eye for him. Yeah, get in goal line. Get in. We used to call the elephant big as a kid, which was you have two linemen, a tight end, a fullback. You just go crazy. And
but even remember when the Bears didn't even run shotgun. Remember we was begging for them to use shotgun with Rex.
Yeah, yeah. Which the funny thing is, Rex probably could have had a slightly. And if you're 100%. On Patreon, you're seeing my hand is slightly. If you're not on, it is the infinitesimal decimal,
like 0.1.
He could have had a better career if he just stayed in the spread. Because most of these college quarterbacks are in spread. If you don't know what spread is literally what it seems. Shotgun, four wide, five wide, trips left, trips right. You may have a running back, which you may have two running backs. Some college may have a tight end or a fullback running. It's literally spread. You know why you spread the ball? To spread the ball. If you can get defense literally lined up in the same space, like in the I formation or a goal line formation, there's only so many skill players on the field. So if you're in the I formation, you're probably having, if you have extra linemen on there, you may have a tight end, a fullback, and a running back. You take three people who cover those people, and everybody else is just blitzing. You know, so it's tough. So it's tough to get 1 yard. If you put a team at the 5 yard line and tell them to run out of goal line every play, I'm guaranteed they're not getting to the two anymore. Why? Because the defensive linemen are like Aaron Donald.
We just
not
went
the same,
off
the obviously.
Whole tangent of
course.
Shotgun.
Shut up, nigga. But they're defensive linemen like Aaron Donald, who not only can lift you off your feet, 300 pounds, 6'4", 6'5", grown men, but he can get past you and finesse you. So you can't contain your offense to literally just bunch packages. You're going to have to spread them out. So for Jonathan, that's why you run the spread. Look at Lamar Jackson. If you just saw him on Monday Night Football, you listen to this Tuesday, so I'm assuming if not you watching playoff baseball, you're watching the Rays get eliminated, which just blew my mind. Who else is on right now? Is it Giants and Dodgers?
Yeah, the Dodgers are down one at the top of the eighth or ninth. I can't really tell from here, but they're down.
So you were probably, if not, you were watching Monday Night Football, but they were lined up in the red zone, maybe at the 5 yard line, spread. Everyone spread out. I think you may have had Latavius Murray in the backfield, but what happened? When you spread out, the defense still has to cover a lot of ground. And you saw Hollywood Brown get the touchdown. So that's for Jonathan to say.
So we was disappointed you couldn't come. You had a blast.
Oh, yeah, I didn't. I talked
really
all
nice
that.
Hotel.
I talked all that. Okay, nigga, enough. Really talked nice. All that. First of all, I'm never booking Spirit again.
You should have booked that shit to fucking begin with. I didn't know you booked Spirit. I'd have told you you were tweaking to fucking begin with.
Nigga, when you look at your ticket and it's $30 or it's $90, my whole entire thing was $176 total. It was literally $90, then $30, and I paid $70 just to get that big seat in the front. I've been on Spirit a couple times. I never really
I'm
minded
not
it.
Taking Spirit to San Diego.
I don't mind Spirit. It's not like an awful flight.
The lowest I'm going to Southwest, and I can't stand Southwest.
Frontier is a line that I'm not taking. Frontier is just no, because it's just, I feel like the planes were made in the 70s. At least Spirit, these are modern planes. The seats are very, very cramped, which is why the only reason I took that is because I got to their, basically the business class edition.
Your flight back with Spirit too?
Yeah, it was all Spirit.
Oh, you a bold nigga.
But what happened was I'm heading to the airport. It's about
4:30 in the morning.
4:30 in the morning at O'Hare Airport on Saturday. And so I'm saying, I got an email from Spirit. And I was like, huh. I'm literally, I mean literally, already in the terminal. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, shit.
You know, I'm already.
I thought you were still in the car.
I'm saying, we're sitting there at the at the departures. And I'm literally about to get out the car, and it says you have an email from Spirit. And a few things have changed about your flight. This flight has been canceled. I was like, what? I said, maybe this is an error. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Who drops you off? Mom, who's driving? Mom and dad?
My girlfriend, sir.
Ah, okay.
And I sat there and said, cancel? What they mean, cancel? I tell Anna, I'm like, I'm probably going to go inside and see what's going on. Because I've never had a flight canceled on me before.
Yeah, I've never had no shit like that.
I look inside, and it is a lot of angry people. I see quite a few with Bears jerseys on.
Angry, number one, because they're on Spirit.
I see quite a few people, and they're angry. And they're sitting there going, what the hell? I'm like, and you could just see two Spirit employees looking like, you know, it's not their fault. They didn't cancel the plane. So I'm like, I'm not going to go inside and wait for a decision. I'm going to call their customer service. It was a long, long wait. I called them and they said it was air traffic control decision. Air traffic control cannot cancel a flight, but they can make it so it's kind of tough to keep the flight going.
Because when you was like, it wasn't enough people on a flight, I was like, nigga, I've been on a flight with 10 people.
That was also part of it too, the decision. So if you have a full flight and they make restrictions, they're less likely to cancel the flight. But our flight, it was maybe 15 people on the entire flight. But that wasn't the only Spirit flight that was canceled. That's the issue. There was a lot of people on Spirit planes.
What I'm saying, I've been on a flight with 10 people, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, but you haven't been on a Spirit flight with 10 people.
No, because I like my life. So,
you've probably been on a United, a Southwest, a Delta.
I've only flown Southwest and American.
Really?
Yeah, I haven't flown.
I've flown United, Delta, Southwest, Spirit.
I've heard too many bad customer service stories with Delta.
I've heard a few with United, nigga, and it's never mind.
Okay, yeah, United too.
That's not where I was going. I was going very dark, but this isn't summer sessions.
I don't know where you're going, but we'll find out this Thursday.
We will, and it's bad. So I see my flights canceled. I was like, huh. And so I was like, you know, well, what's the next flight? Typically you just put somebody on the next flight. Oh, it's gonna be 9 a.m. on Sunday. I was like,
there's no shot you made that.
Well, I was like, well, okay, I guess I'll.
Well, you know, to L.A. or Vegas?
No, it'll be to L.A.
I was on, like, a Sunday?
Yeah.
We'd all been gone.
Remember, this is 9 a.m. No, I would have to have taken a flight afterwards. I was only about to book two consecutive flights. That's the issue. And so I was like, huh.
So you're going to land in L.A. and then go to Vegas?
Yes.
Why don't you go straight through?
Because remember, they're giving me another flight. So I can't if I exchange that, I didn't have to have a same flight that's coming in. But it has to be of equal value. If I can't exchange that for something that's going to cost $400.
If you're on Southwest, you'd have got there on Saturday.
Anyway, nigga, I don't think so. Southwest canceled 2,000 flights that day, 2,000 the next day, and 1,800 today. So no, nobody was getting on, nigga. The niggas who got priority were big airlines. American Airlines, Delta, United, Southwest, and Spirit were canceling flights, nigga. Anyway,
all the poverty airlines.
They're called budget airlines, sir.
Poverty airlines.
But anyway, so I'm like,
you're gonna fly flame with fucking TVs on the back of his fucking head, sir.
Anyway, I'm thinking, okay, it'll been a 4-hour flight. I would have got there at 12. I would have to have managed to get on a flight immediately. If flight would have been about an hour or 45 minutes, I'm like, but then after that, I have to make a beeline to my hotel. And after from the airport, and I have to make a beeline to Allegiant Stadium. I'm like, the math is not adding up. This wouldn't work. But that wasn't even the issue. There was a layover in that flight. I wouldn't have got to LA until 4 p.m.
On Sunday?
On Sunday.
Yeah, then you got to get to Vegas.
the game would have been over. So I was like, yeah, I'm cooked. So my next option was going to be look for a flight straight to Vegas. I looked at the prices and I'm like, that's out my range. All right. I said, I'm chalking it. So I asked back Spirit for money, got my money back. And
so I'm going to give you my side of the story. So I'm going to give y'all me on the receiving end of the story.
We got y'all on the phone, y'all.
So, you know, I go to bed early because I was like, yo, I got to wake up the next morning. I'm going to clean up the house real quick. You know what I'm saying? You know, make sure the other room in my apartment was good because I know you had to stay in there.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I'll just pack because I don't like packing the night before because I feel like I'm going to need my toothbrush in the morning. I might as well just pack all that shit at one time. So I was like, I just go to sleep early and wake up early. So I hear my phone go off like 2:30 in the morning. And I see your name. And I'm thinking, oh, it's probably just a butt dial or some shit. So I put it back down. Then I immediately thought, nah, why would he be? Like, you wouldn't be no butt dial this early. And my first reaction, because anytime somebody calls me before 5 in the morning, my first reaction is, who the fuck died? This is my natural fucking reaction. You know, even the day we got Khalil Mack, when J.R. Bang called me, left that message, and I didn't answer at first. I was like, man, whoever died ain't gonna be alive when I come, ain't gonna be alive when I wake back up. So there's no point in me ruining my sleep right now. But anyway, so I called you and he was like, man, my flight got canceled. And I was like, what the fuck? And you was like, man, there weren't enough people on the flight. And it just didn't make any sense to me for two reasons. One, because I was like, I've been on a flight with 10 people before. So that didn't make any sense to me. And number two, it's not like you were flying into fucking Idaho. You were flying into Los Angeles. There was going to be people on the fucking flight. I don't care which flight it was. So I went through so many range of emotions in that couple hour period. So I'm like, so first, my first reaction, I was stunned. I was so hyped for, I'm like, damn, man, like, we was going. And then I'm thinking, can't none of us go? My second one was like, man, the Bears set up, you know, all this stuff for us. I don't want to just not be able to go. And he's like, you can still go by yourself. So I'm like, is Pav still going to go? So there's a lot of things. I'm thinking 100 things at one time right now. So I was like, let me call you back and I'm going to think about it. So once I realized, I'm like, no, I can do this by myself if I still got a ride. So I called Pav, and in typical Pav fashion, this nigga's in the club. All I hear on the background on the phone is douche, 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 douche. He's like, man, I mean, I gotta see. I thought, you know, I was gonna try to split driving with Joe. You know, I ain't really gonna drive the whole way.
I figured he was too.
And then he was like, probably, yeah, we probably still got everything paid for, but I really can't answer right now, man. I'll call you in the morning. So I'm like, all right. So at the same time, we set the stuff up. So I was just so angry and I couldn't go to sleep right away. And I was like, you know what? It's out of my control right now. I was like, if I can't go to Vegas, there's a reason for me that I shouldn't be in Vegas. You know, so I'm just let it go. If it's meant for me to go, cool. If not, I'll just stay home, watch the White Sox game, watch the Bears on TV. It's going to suck. But there's a reason why I shouldn't be in Vegas. And also another reason is like every time I go to Vegas, some bullshit happens. So maybe this is God telling me you don't need to be in this city again. So I was just like, we'll see if something opens up. By the time the morning came, we were able to work everything out. Everything was all good. Me and Pav just left a little later. We left at like 2:30 LA time, and there was mad traffic. So we got to Vegas around 7:30. Got to Vegas around 7:30. And, you know, first and that night we just got we got drunk off our ass. But, you know,
yeah.
This is my first time I went to Vegas. I had a great time. But see, that was, you know, that's both sides of the story. But we both will be covering the game at fucking Soldier Field for the Niners game. And this will not be the only time. I've got a list. We got a list that we're gonna be doing. You know what I'm saying?
You know what? I'm going to go over it right now. You could, okay.
The flows in Scott's schedule.
I love this chair for an office reason. I can sit. But like when I want to lean back and actually get some. Like, first of all, if you're on a podcast, you're barely hearing me. If you're on a Patreon, you're thinking, what is this nigga doing? So Bear with me as I deal with these uncomfortable, these uncomfortable issues with seating arrangement. Anyway, so next week we have the Packers game. Obviously, I'm going to be there. I'm at all home games. I don't have to fill anything out because I have a season pass for that. But, you know, real niggas only. Next week, after that is Tampa Bay. I'm not going to Florida. It's not happening.
Speaking of, they do not give a fuck about fucking masks in Las Vegas, Nevada.
I know.
Outside of the hotel, like there's certain in the restaurants and in the bars and clubs, you have to have your mask on. Yeah. Now, at Allegiant Stadium, I got to give props to them. If you ain't had your vaccine, you wasn't getting in the club, and they were on it. Yeah. You couldn't step on the same,
have to clear up?
Yeah, I had to clear out. You couldn't step on the same block as the stadium if you didn't have a vaccination.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, so continue. But,
so with Tampa Bay, because there is no mandate, and I'm pretty sure within the games there's also no mandate, I'm just not risking my health. You know what I'm saying? With Vegas, I know that there was the clear app. So everybody in that stadium
was vaccinated.
Was vaccinated. Mm-hmm. You know, and your fake vaccine card wouldn't have cut it. You had to have that digitally. And if you put bullshit on a clear app, they're like, nigga, what is this? Yeah. So that's why I was like, you know, I'm gonna do Vegas. But we got Green Bay next week. I'll be Tampa Bay. I'm not going. That's just health reasons. Next week, after that is San Francisco. After that is Pittsburgh. And
it's back to back games.
Yeah. Are you still going to Pittsburgh?
No, I'm 100% going to Pittsburgh.
So me and Scott will be making that. I'm going to book our hotel soon. So
just because I want to see Heinz Field and Tomlin's my guy.
True. Oh, after that, it's a bye week. I get time to rest, recuperate. Baltimore game. That is on my birthday. Which
man, that's a fire game. I low key want to go to that shit.
That's going to be great. And
that's the next, versus Lamar.
Yeah, and then 4 days rest. That's the Lions game, which Scott will also be there.
I might go to both.
He may go to both.
Because it's in the same week.
Exactly. On top of this,
it's Thanksgiving.
It's a bye week before that. So you can go back home.
I'm going to the Ravens game, nigga.
We'll do it live. We'll
do it live. So I'm going to both.
We're going to be at the Ravens game. The next one after that is Arizona, which, of course, I will be there. That's two really good games for quarterbacks you want to see.
And that's in Arizona? Oh, no, that's after the career. That's after Detroit.
And then that's the Lambeau game, which Scott would also be at.
Yes.
Then there's the Minnesota game. Seattle, that's the day after Christmas. Seattle.
Oh, that's the day after Christmas?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to put it like this. If Russell Wilson's playing, I'll be gone.
Makes sense.
Actually, I don't. We got to see what the price is looking like. It's Christmas. Them bitches might be high.
Exactly. So
Seattle TV.
And this is why I just want to implore, not poor, but thank the folks who are on Patreon listening.
Thank y'all. We wouldn't be
literally
able to do it without y'all.
We're not the Sun-Times. We're not the Tribune. We're not the Athletic. Shout out to all the great people that I've met through those big brands. But they have budgets where, you know, I heard Pat Finley, Jason Leisure, and a few others who all work for the Sun-Times. Forgive me if I messed it up because I know the Tribune and the Sun-Times hate each other. But I heard them talking about, we're going to put it in the budget. So they have a budget set aside for them. We don't. We budget this ourselves with the money that we make from our own personal lives and also what we get through the Patreon. So, you know, this isn't YouTube, so I can't say like, comment, and subscribe. But I can say subscribe to us, follow us on Twitter. Follow Flo's Andolini, follow Ed Barb Chair Scott. And then, of course, as you see right here on the screen, 79th and Hollis and Barber Chair Net on Twitter. And then
I got an idea.
Subscribe to our Patreon because this is how you get us to work. And then there's the Giants game, and then there's Minnesota on the 9th of January, which I will also be at. That is the finale of the season.
You going to Minnesota?
Yeah, I've never been there. It's a great stadium. I want to go.
Yeah, it means I got to go to Minnesota.
That's true. But also,
going to Detroit,
the great thing about that
for Thanksgiving.
True. The great thing about that, all I have to do is just drive up there. I might not even get a hotel. So, anyway.
So we're driving up to Pittsburgh, right?
Yes, we're driving up to Pittsburgh.
Cool. That's a 3-game. I might just come in for that and just stay them a couple weeks because we got Baltimore and this Thanksgiving. What's the point of me flying back? And we'll figure it out.
They're 4 days later.
Yeah. I'm talking about like even for the Pittsburgh game. Pittsburgh game's on November 8th.
Yes.
And then
there's a bye week after that, though.
And there's bye week, but then that's the next game after that is the Ravens game.
Yes.
So I might as well just stay. We'll figure it out. But
we'll figure it out.
And if the Bears make the playoffs, and this is actually a great segue into the actual football, we've been giving y'all the backstory of our
20 minutes worth.
20 minutes. y'all getting all the content. If the Bears make the playoffs, I don't give a fuck where it's at. I will be there. But so let's get into the actual game. How do we feel? Bears are 3-2. Big game coming up this week. Of course, we're not going to get too much of that. We'll preview that on a preview pod this week. Packer week. The Packers are looking vulnerable. And I say that very lightly because it's still fucking Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron Rodgers gets the joy out of fucking us up. So I want to preface that. But how are we feeling with this team right now? I kind of feel like this team is start. I'm not, I don't believe, I'm put like, I don't believe in the Bears yet.
Okay.
Bears win this Sunday, I'm gonna start believing. As far as having a legit shot at winning the division. Right now, I still, but one thing I will say, I'm not believing because the offense still has a lot more to do. They still got to take the fucking training wheels off Justin. How many times he threw? 19 times yesterday?
I want to say 17, actually.
17, 18. They need to take training wheels off. He'd be throwing that ball at least 25 times a game. You know what I'm saying? So
Justin Fields threw 12 for 20.
12 for 20. So because of the offense, I'm not sold yet. And I know when you face Aaron Rodgers, you're going to have to fucking put up points. But I will say this team is starting to have an identity. This defense is legit. Sean Desai is a godsend. Robert Quinn is a beast. Khalil Mack.
I'm sitting like Commander Riker right now with my back. Sorry, nigga.
Khalil Mack is this is the best I've seen Khalil since his first year here.
Yeah.
You know, he's still hurt. He's injured. He's been missing practice a lot these last 2 weeks.
You know, if I'm out there, I'm 100%. You know what I'm saying? I go out there, I'm
100%. So, you know,
in Khalil's words, Khalil is 100%.
Because yesterday, of course, yesterday was like, it was like a street fight. Like, the Raiders' objective was to put Justin on his ass. And they did a good job, and Justin bounced back from, I love when he threw that touchdown, bounced back, did y'all niggas can't fuck with me. Yeah. So
it's amazing he was only sacked twice.
Yeah, and so, especially, it started off real rough. Like, a lot of people know, when he left the game, we could see from the press box, they put a fucking garbage can in front of this nigga, because he was throwing up.
Yeah.
So what I say the identity is, this team is becoming a nasty defensive team, and they run the ball very, very well. Problem with this isn't 2005.
No.
You need to fucking score points. So until I see the offense make strides, and the offense is going to have to make strides to beat Green Bay, until that happens, I'm not going to believe. But I think that was a big win for them.
You know, I will say that the Bears confuse me right now. But it's possibly a good confusion, because what I see, pardon that, but what I see is, pardon me for hitting the table, I'm going to be specific. What I see is, one, they have a good run game, which, I mean, I don't know, I'm not sure why we're even shocked about that. Two, the offensive line that looked like bozos in week two, or was that week three, against Cleveland. Sometimes they end up looking like world beaters.
They didn't look good against the Rams either, but
you know, I'm talking about on the run. Because David Montgomery still looked good in the run. Because
even when you said like we're used to the run game, David Montgomery has been getting them yards, but the offensive line was not good. That wasn't that good at run blocking last year.
That's the thing. I thought that was their one redeemable skill. Remember, that was a makeshift line though. That was a makeshift line, and Charles Leno was doo doo. Which, you know, some people were saying. I know his spouse searches Charles Leno's name.
Who the racist?
Yeah, you all need to give it up. And I'm like, come on, man. He stinks.
Is he still on that roster?
I think so.
I thought he didn't get released.
I thought he was unfortunately injured.
Oh, okay. Well, one or two.
He is the Washington football team. And I haven't seen anything. Bears cutting Charles Leno Jr. dubbed one of NFL's worst post-draft moves. Nigga, it's not a good tackle.
I don't listen to anything that people on the grade with the Bears do, because 9 out of 10, they don't know what the fuck they're talking about.
But anyway, so yeah. So the thing is, what I'm confused about is, it seems to be a working system the Bears have developed. Nagy is the head coach. He operates how the majority of head coaches have worked throughout history. In modern history, which is the offensive coordinator calls the plays.
Which Bill Lazor is 100% doing that. And Bears fans, including me, got to stop saying, is that Nagy when a play doesn't work? Yeah, no, nigga. That's Bill Lazor.
Bill Lazor is calling the plays. And Nagy.
And the Giants have won. The Dodgers face elimination tonight as you'll be listening to this.
Crazy. And if you're hearing this, the White Sox have already won. I'm calling it.
Anyway, you calling it?
I'm calling it. Nigga, Sox in five. Sox and five.
Anyway. Sox and five.
Sox and five. Leo Hendricks. But, and so I feel like there's a system working. Matt Nagy honestly seems relieved that he's not calling the play.
Yeah. That's the, I'm finna do one of yours. That's the feeling I got in the interview room. That, yeah. That's a feeling I got. He said,
Neil deGrasse Tyson gift. Okay.
He said, I never felt more connected to all three phases of the game. And so he said, I'm able to talk to these guys. And it's just like, oh, wow, Matt, you mean being a head coach is good? Yeah. You know, that's been my only beef with Maggie. Just don't call the plays.
Yeah.
I always thought he was a good coach, a good leader of men.
We've said that literally thousands of times.
Yeah, I think just he's a good leader of men. Sheet up.
And they still love him. Yeah. Like when niggas said all the locker room is going to have, like, you know, early in the season. Which or even last year. And they was like, oh, man, he lost the locker room. I'm like, no, he didn't.
Them dudes love him, man.
They love Matt Nagy. They didn't love Mark Trestman back in the day because Mark Trestman wasn't a people person. But they love Matt Nagy. Why? Because he's a former football player and a coach. He knows what it's like to be a leader. I watched all of his XFL highlights that were available on YouTube. The nigga is a meathead football player. I don't mean disrespectfully, like he's a meathead. But he has that, you hit me, I'm going to get up, call you a piece of shit, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to ride for my teammates. So I feel like it was a good decision. Now, don't get me twisted. I'm not off the they need to be held accountable for their actions, and they probably still should be fired, you know, based upon what they've done. If there's no improvement, he still should have his job taken from him next at the end of the season. But if this system starts to work, I'm not going to be against it. You know what I'm saying? It is funny how with Justin now, the nigga was injured, and he don't win there for a couple plays. All right, get back out. We've seen enough. We don't need you in here anymore. But with Justin, it wouldn't be a podcast without me having my phone go off. With Justin, what I'm starting to see is he can do more than they're giving him.
Yeah,
they still are giving him curl routes, in routes, out routes that are less than 10 yards. They may be getting 6 yards a play. And I wonder if that game last week where he was having, I think he had the most 20-yard plus plays, I think it was like four that game, that were they testing the waters? Because now they're dialing it back and they're saying, okay, now it's time for us to run the ball. Let's run the ball more. Let's get
Is funny because Nagy never committed to running to the ball.
Never.
I think what they're trying to do, two things in one time, which I respect. They had
37 carries this week. Last week, they had 38 carries.
Yeah, which I respect. They
committed to running the ball.
Which is fine. I have no problem with we're trying to win, but at the same time, protect Justin. I'm fine with that. But you can have a nigga throw at least five more times a game. All I'm asking for is 25 attempts.
Yeah.
25 attempts. You can cut those runs to about 32. And we good. That's a nice, healthy balance.
Yeah, because I'm not in the Jesus have mercy. I'm not in the give him the Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, let him loose. No.
Them two have no choice but to let him loose. They ain't got shit else.
That's also true. So that's my point. You have weapons, let them use it. Let them use it. You know, Damian Williams looked good in his position of being the number one back. We also know you're not putting him in at the goal line. He's not the physical back. He's a get in space, you're not gonna touch him.
No, he shook a nigga at the goal line.
Well, put a nigga in the dirt. it's just beautiful. We know that Khalil Herbert is make a play when it's
Juice
not there.
Herbert. Juice
make
Herbert.
A play when it's not there. And I will give credit.
Only one Khalil.
Yeah, Juice Herbert. But remember, the Bears did say it was a good day for guys named Khalil.
Yeah, we all know it's only the Mac main.
Well, I don't know if his name is Khalil because Khalil Mack is Khalil Mack. Remember, it's Khalil.
Oh, what they say? What did Ian Eagle say on the call? He said, Khalil Mack. And they was talking about it on the radio. Dave Caffrey was like, oh, you like when they said Wilson Contreras?
but yeah, so his name is Khalil Mack. But you know that Khalil Herbert can find holes. And shout out to one of the three wise men, Steve. Steve has been correct on the past few running backs that the Bears have picked up.
Yeah,
he said Jordan Howard will be good for a little bit until you realize he does not have any more than just physical running, and then that's when he'll become one-dimensional. Me and him both called Matt Forte back in the day. That was back in the day. That's 2000 what, 7, 8? When did he come in?
Who, Matt Forte?
Yeah,
2008.
Me and him both
remember
called
his first game at Lucas Oil Stadium.
Yeah, he had 100.
Yeah,
juked the nigga for 50. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
I'll never forget that. Can't ever forget where we came from because that's all we got. It's a classic skit. Scott's never seen it because Scott thinks Key and Peele isn't funny.
I didn't say Key and Peele wasn't funny. I said Key and Peele was safe Negro comedy. That shit's not funny, but safe Negro comedy.
Have you seen the Obama handshake video?
Yeah, that shit's funny, but safe Negro comedy.
he shakes a white man's hand and he shakes a black man's hand. He's like,
no, that video's been
can't ever forget that because that's all we got. I was like, that's funny.
It's just been memed on Twitter 1,000 times.
Gotta get to him.
They have funny scenes. It's just safe Negro comedy. If you like, like comedy to make white people feel safe, Key and Peele for you.
That is an excellent way to put it. They are also half white, so you know they're connecting to who they are. I can't be mad at niggas being who they are. Anyway, as with all Barbershop podcasts, we went off topic a little bit, but they have an identity with a run game. Now, don't, as much as I want to say cut Justin loose, I would just say, and a leash is a very bad metaphor and example for a black man, and I hate using the term leash. You know, when I hear
what did that announcer say about Luis Robert?
You have a whole plantation for the crap.
No, he said, where can I get a whole field of that? I was like, nigga,
40
huh?
acres, which was even worse. I was like, 40 acres, nigga?
Somebody's like, that's a shot to left field by Nick Castellanos.
I describe myself as a man of faith, and there's a shot deep to left field.
That clip's gonna be forever funny, man.
What happened with that nigga?
He kept his job. They just suspended that nigga for like 30 days.
Oh, no, he got fired.
Oh, he got fired?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But yeah. I thought he picked up another job.
He probably did. White people always
called it the F-word capital. You gotta... This brings... You know what? We'll talk about it on 2-Minute Drill. But I will say, when niggas will defend...
2-Minute Drill gets recorded this week. It depends on how the game four of the White Sox go.
That's true. So I'll say this. Niggas, TBD. You know, to the... Because if they lose, I ain't recording nothing.
My phone is going to be in the Pacific Ocean. Them niggas lose.
Nigga, I'm going to be on the show destroying the Astros myself. I'm going to pick up my PS5 controller just like Thanos picked up the Infinity Gauntlet. I'm like, fine. I do it myself. You know, John Gruden being an idiot, a moron, a racist, a homophobe, a misogynist in email. Who is racist in email? Who, first of all, who sends a personal conversation in email?
Yeah.
If I have a personal conversation, it's going to text. And if I want to talk shit about somebody, I'm saying it out loud. But I'm never going to put that in writing. You know, folks are using Bible verses, racist and or conservatives were like, he is without sin, cast the first stone. Let me get my Flo's DeGrasse Tyson on.
Real quick. Here we go.
It's going to be very briefly because I typically reserve this for 2-Minute Drill, which would be straight up football or
this
summer
Flo's
session.
DeGrasse Tyson or this Eric Dyson? Which one are we doing today?
Well, I'm doing a little bit of both because I say Flo's DeGrasse Tyson because, you know, he's an astrophysicist, right? Mm-hmm. But he's just an overall scientist. And so let's think about this. On a non-religious level, you're saying let he who is without sin cast the first stone. So the philosopher in me, the flow is Eric Dyson, is saying, okay, you're saying don't talk shit about somebody if you're doing the same thing. Sure. If I'm cheating on my wife and I say, nigga, what you cheating on your wife for? Niggas will be like, are you kidding me?
Right.
That's the philosopher.
I know that ain't who I think that is.
And that's looking at it with the flow of DeGrasse Tyson on the human level, the human perspective. You know, it would seem weird from a human perspective for you to talk mess when you're doing that. Flow is Eric Dyson coming in now. And also a little bit of who is my man's who is with the big fro. Gap Tooth.
Who, what's that nigga name? I know who you're talking
He's
about.
He's a philosopher. He taught it.
I know who you're talking about. I can't.
It's a seminary. He's a philosopher. He's one of the only black philosophers I know. Goodness gracious. Cornel West.
Yeah.
Flo-Nell West, nigga. That Bible verse is about the Lord Jesus, which I'm a Christian, so I will say the Lord Jesus. That is about him and the woman who was an adulterer. And under Jewish law at the time, adultery would get you stoned to death. The Lord, however, was looking at them and saying, Is any of you sinned? Specifically the same sin you're talking about. If you have not sinned, you don't have the right to judge, because only I have the right to truly judge, making a life or death judgment situation. And so he said, have you not? Okay. But then he looked at the woman and said, go and sin no more. Basically, you definitely cheated on that nigga, but go ahead and sin no more. So we're talking about John Gruden. If you've been a racist in your emails, you're tripping. Also, who's racist in their emails but idiots and or old people who don't know how to use technology. But that biblical verse does not give us a leeway basically to say, do anything you want. And then there were a lot of bot comments, but there are also legitimate comments like, we can't say anything no more. And I was like, man, white folks don't understand adversity at all. Adversity is not being able to go into Dunkin' Donuts without a mask for white folks. And this is not an indictment of what white folks in of themselves. It's about what they've been through as a people. which is jack shit. You've been through nothing.
Listening to a football podcast.
You've been through nothing as a people, and so you think that's adversity. John Gruden ain't really facing adversity, nigga. He gonna be rich when he leaves this. He's a millionaire. You know how much money he was getting from that nigga in Oakland with a terrible bowl cut who I can't think of right now?
Mark Davis, nigga.
Mark Davis. Just as terribly dressed as Al Davis. But
that nigga look embalmed.
But you know how much money, you know how much money he's getting from them? I'm not concerned. On top of that, he was a racist. And he called, first off, but also, that's not why he was fired.
No, he was fired. He's talking about Big Raj.
He was fired because he talked about the Don. He was fired because he talked about the Don.
Raj sent out a press release that just said, bet. I saw the press release.
Like Michael bet. Jordan, I'm back. The associate Roger Goodell say, bet. I'm not employed by the Bears, but they do give me access. If I walk up to Matt Nagy and say, fuck you, you're a bitch.
You're never doing
that. I'm
shit
never
again.
Coming back to Hallis Hall in my life. I'm not even going. I'm not even able to make it to Soldier Field.
Yeah,
they may say, get this nigga out of here. No one is allowed. So I want you to go to your place of employment. He called him the F word, and then he called him an anti-football pussy. Which
he called Joe Biden a pussy. He said Joe Biden is a scared, is a soft, cowardly pussy. That's what he called Joe Biden.
But then he called Goodell the F word and something else.
Yeah,
you think you're going to talk about your boss? First off, and so this happened before when he was on Monday Night Football. I don't think Goodell wanted him to get hired anyway. So Goodell was just looking for stuff to get him fired immediately. And so you don't talk about Big Rog and get away with that. He's Michael Corleone, bro.
Pretty much.
You're never gonna find nothing about Jerry Jones. He knows where the body's at, bro.
Yeah.
It's cooked. It's chalked.
Pretty much.
But since we may not have 2 minutes real or not, because it depends on the Sox score. Depends I want to get that out there. They lose on my plan.
White Sox win, y'all get a 2 minute drill. They lose, nigga. My phone ain't gonna be on for about 48 hours.
Fair. Anyway, moving on to the Bears, moving on to finishing
what we're back to the Bears.
Before I got my flows, Eric Dyson.
Well, can we talk about Justin Fields? Like you said before you went on your long rant, you said you don't like the term unleashed.
Yeah, it's a bad. Ugh. These are human beings. I don't like the term unleashed, but
take the training wheels off.
There you go. That is a perfect way to say. I'm not sure if I want to take the training wheels off just yet.
And why is this?
Maybe convert him to a tricycle. Maybe do that.
So asking for 5 more passes is
No. But that's what see, what you're asking for isn't taking the training wheels off. You're converting him to a tricycle. That's what you're doing. Taking the training wheel off is there's no cap on how many he can throw. He might end up throwing 50. You know what I'm saying? I'm not asking for that. Like, how many Lamar Jackson throw tonight? 43 passes? I don't want that just yet. Or I would not want that in the position if I was the Bears, because you know he's a strong person. You know that he's strong-willed, and you know that he gives his effort 110%, and he's tough. But I don't need to see him get hurt confidence-wise. This is, once again, the kid who has – he's not like Trevor Lawrence, where you're wondering if he'll hurt his confidence, because Trevor Lawrence has been at the top of the mountain literally his entire career in football right now. Justin was always behind number two, fighting for the respect, even though I thought he was always as talented as Trevor Lawrence has been. Literally, any throw Trevor Lawrence can make, he can make.
Trevor Lawrence is a golden boy. He's not saying – I don't want to say everything's been handed to him. I can't feel making him right.
He's got God-given talent.
Justin's had to – you know, Justin's always – it's always been 1A, 1B, or 1-2, however you want to look at it. Justin went to a school that never gave him a fucking chance.
Nope.
So he had to work for his shit more than anything. And I think the Browns game was actually the best shit to happen to Justin. We saw this. This nigga ain't no pussy. And then even after this Raiders game, they were fucking him up. And he got up every time. Now he needs to retire that goddamn spin move. Shout out to Herb. He asked him. So Herb didn't ask a question. He was just like, yo, you said you're going to retire that spin move. And then Justin was like, man, I don't even know, man. He didn't have an answer.
Yeah. But no, he used a spin move. I mean, now he said, because we asked him today, I want to say it was Mark Potash, or was it Kevin Fishbane, saying about the spin move? Is that a coachable moment? Nagy was like, not really. He was like, that's a kind of a bang bang thing. You know what I mean? Would you tell someone to abandon a spin move entirely? Because if it works, you're gonna be like, I wouldn't.
No, not well, a bad name for Ty, but don't use that motherfucker because he perfected. Like, shit.
There's no real way. You don't perfect a spin move outside of doing it.
Yeah, but all his spin moves look remedial.
Look at his spin moves in college. They were not remedial. He's attempted two spin moves in the NFL. So we can't say.
He got messed up in that bowl game. Ain't that because he did that spin?
No, he got messed up in that because I want to say he was juking to the left and he got hit hard. I forgot the linebacker. 45, 44. But yeah. So you can't really perfect that. And now, you know, on top of that, you saw Lamar Jackson try to do a spin move, get clapped today. It's really a spin moves are weird things that really only work if you catch somebody coming up. If you catch somebody with that momentum coming up, you can do that. Unless their position literally just hits your body in the space you are. You have to – it's a really tough thing. It's a bang-bang thing. So I don't think it's a – what's the word? A teachable moment either, a coachable moment. It just kind of is what it is. So, you know.
I want them to at least just let him throw. Because one thing – I liked how the offense looked the first half of the game. Second half, they just got real, real conservative. It was a couple play calls I didn't like. You know, but one at the end of the game when it was winning time, they let Justin throw the ball. But I'm just saying, let's take a little bit more shots. Is all I'm saying. I want to see more, especially going against Packers. 20 points.
No, that was a spin move versus Clemson.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah,
I had to look again.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So 20 points ain't gonna cut it against Green Bay. It's just not. So you know, I know they, and we're not gonna preview it. We'll preview it this later this week. But as to sum it all up. I want to see a little bit more. Hopefully, they open the book up, the playbook up a little bit more each week.
Yeah.
And that's what I have to see. But it's a good win. Very good win. I won't say hostile environment because it was not hostile. It felt like a damn Bears game up in that bitch. And not to say the Raiders fans weren't represented. I think it was about 50-50. But Bears fans, when we get loud, we get fucking loud. Yeah. Like, you know, on that last fourth down, all you heard was, let's go, Bears. Let's go. It was crazy. And shout out to Pat for giving me the fight updates. Like, you texted, oh, it's finna get dark. It's finna get dark. And then motherfuckers start fighting.
Yeah, that, yeah. No. I wasn't there to see the Bears fans there. So I have no clue, you know, what it sounds like. But it was still a test for Justin and the Bears because you're on the road. You're still at the home. You're still away. But that's not as big as a test as facing the guy who's been whooping your team's ass since he's been starting.
And that's Aaron Rodgers. Quickly talk about. Of course, we're going full detail about it, but I feel like this is a big game. Not just because it's
We're not talking about it now, bro. We're not talking about it.
You want to save it for this week?
It's for the preview, bro. That's what we have it for. Because if we talk about it here, we're going to get in a preview pod and have 15 minutes. We're like, right, all right, nigga, right. We'll holler at y'all. Yeah, we'll talk about that later, though. But, you know, in terms of this game, the offense, I still think – I don't even want to say they put the training wheels back on Justin in the second half. I think just they got conservative. But then when they realized, oh, it's like 9-4.
When it was winning time, they let him throw the ball.
Exactly. And I appreciate that because I don't feel Nagy's play caller would have done that. I feel Bill Kahn maybe – I don't know what he realized. But if I was in his shoes, I would have said, oh, I can't be conservative anymore because they scored now. They missed a 2-point, but they scored now. So you're going to have to start throwing. And Justin made two big completions. Could have got six there, but, you know, shit happens. But two big completions, defense stepped up. You got another field goal, which made that a 3-score game. Well, that made that a 2-score game still because you can still get two 2-point conversions. So still a 2-score game. But I say that to say, the calls were improving when it needed to be improving. But yeah. This is Bill Lazor's. How many times has he been offensive coordinator? This is his first time being offensive coordinator?
Are you talking about as a job?
As a job.
I have no idea.
I want to say this was his first time.
This is only his fifth game calling plays for the Bears because he did three last year and he's done two this year.
Yeah, he was an offensive coordinator with the Dolphins for a year. He was offensive coordinator with the Bengals for a year. And then he was a Penn State analyst. I'm trying to look up. He was the offensive coordinator with Virginia for 2002. But I'm guessing because of his position with Virginia, he accepted a job with the Eagles to be their quarterbacks coach. Then he went to the Eagles and the Miami Dolphins. He was offensive coordinator. but that didn't last long at all. That was a year, and he was already fired on the fired a year later. Then he's with the Bengals, and he was offensive coordinator. He's a full-time offensive coordinator for a year, but then he was fired a year later. So I'm going to be honest, I don't think he's ever got a – and it's just not to say that he was good. I have no clue what the situation is, but a year will never give anybody a chance to know who they are.
Yeah.
You know, and so now possibly he's getting a chance to figure it out, or he won't figure it out, and he'll suck, and then move on to the other offensive coordinator. For the sake of Bears and players and Bears fans, I would hope that he's a good a play caller that the Bears need, because it's one thing that – it used to annoy me watching Jay Cutler was that this was a new offensive coordinator every year. Every single year. Oh, who's this? Oh, here go Mike Tice, nigga.
Jay
oh,
was never able to get into a groove of anything. On top of that, they didn't – he had a terrible fucking offensive line. And they didn't give him a fucking good wide receiver to, what, his fourth season there?
Yeah.
He didn't get Brandon to his fourth season.
Yeah. So. You know, and then on top of that, because Lovie Smith was not an offensive coach, he coached the defense – every offensive coordinator brought with him a new system. With Matt Nagy, because he's an offensive coach, the coordinator he brings in will have to mold his game to Nagy's. So I'm hoping that since Bill Lazor's the play caller, that it remains that way. But, you know, once again, if Bill Lazor calls a great offensive year, the nigga going to get picked up somewhere. The life of offensive coordinator is much shorter.
Well, I feel like he'd have to blow it out the water to get a job.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying if he blows out the water, he can get picked up next year. If he does good, he'll have eyes on him next year, and it might be it. Whereas with defensive coordinators, a year is not going to get you a job. You're probably going to have 2-3 years of being a good coordinator. Like Sean Desai, if he starts putting in work and
oh, you mean like Brandon Staley, who the Bears let walk out the fucking building?
What's that? But Sean Desai, if he puts in work as a coordinator and the Bears continue to be a good defense, they're going to be gone in a couple of years. That's just the way of a coordinator. But the hope is that the person behind him, who Sean Desai was with Vic Fangio, learns from that system, grows from that system, and then puts that same work in. Which Sean Desai probably should have been hired next last year.
And that would be Vic Fangio's second one, because Brandon Staley is the Chargers.
Yeah. So.
But I'm looking forward to previewing the Packer episode this week. It's a big – every Packer matchup is big, but this one is got a little more feeling to it. So we'll talk about that. I think that's all we got for y'all today.
Because both of us are tired. It's been a long
time. Tired of shit.
Scott had his full time as a journalist, so yeah. He's a widow tired.
Shut the fuck up. And I'm thinking about the White Sox game tomorrow. So.
He's already nervous.
Yeah. So anyway, lot riding, but whatever. By the time y'all hear this, actually, we'll be out by the time the game comes on. So,
who are you giving the game balls to? Play the game.
Player of the game. I'm giving 3 game balls out.
Okay.
2 to Damian Williams and Khalil Herbert.
Sure.
And the other Khalil Mack.
That's the same as me. It's kind of an obvious choice to give it to those. Yeah. Give it to those three. Any goofy mocks throughout the sporting world?
Oh, you know, I'm not going to hold you. Tune in Wednesdays, Thursdays on H&B Media and Barbershop Network.
John Gruden.
We will holler at you all.
I might go another way because that's just so fucking predictable.
It is predictable. But anyway, thank you all for listening to our Patreon subscribers. You can see all of us here. If Ola Ortiz is listening, I want to give this to you, nigga. The White Sox won when you thought we wouldn't. The Cubs are sitting at home. They couldn't beat the Winston-Salem Dash if they tried.
I just say this about the Cub fans. Number one, I'm not mad at them. This is why I'm not mad at them. We did the fucking same shit.
Of course we did.
We did the same fucking shit. Is it annoying as fuck? Cool. If the White Sox get eliminated, it's going to be an annoying evening. They're going to get their jokes off. But guess what? When the sun rises in the east, you niggas will still be trash. And we'll have another crack at the apple next year. That's just the way it is.
What I didn't take mess from was Yankees fans. I'm like, no, bro. You can't talk to me.
This is the thing about Yankee fans. Y'all the Yankees, right? It's like the Lakers. If you're not winning the championship and you're the Yankees and the Lakers, it doesn't mean anything. Because the bar is set so high for y'all.
That's true.
It's championship or bust every time you get in the fucking playoffs.
If the White Sox make it to the CS and it's like 7 games, it'll be heartbreak. But you would look at that as a step in the right direction for the White Sox.
Honestly, even if we go to 5 games with Houston and lose, I look at that as a step in the right direction, especially with how much we got our ass kicked the first 2 games.
True. I agree. Anyway, thank you all for listening. Those who are listening on Spotify, Apple Music, SoundCloud, wherever the hell plays are. We appreciate you all for listening. Thank you all for tuning in. For our Patreon subscribers who are seeing us full here, as I said, Olo Ortiz, nigga, you all suck. Of course, that's the homie. Shout out to Isaiah. First off, nigga, you can't tweet my old mad White Sox tweets at me and think I'm going to be upset. I love the Sox. I love being wrong about the Sox. Anyway, shout out to my mans. Shout out to Mikey for the parlays. He came up on 2,000 and I didn't get to because you didn't sit it early enough.
He hit me up when I was getting ready to head to the sports book in my hotel, which one was about like, nigga, I'm not doing that.
The brother is a gambling addict, but he also wins. So
yeah.
Anyway, thank you all for tuning in. This is 7 Anthony Hollis, episode 183. I'm Flows. That's Scott. He's fat. I'm not. We will talk to you all later.